yeah, there should be some passion. This doesn't have to be boring.
Hey, one thing the game needs is more people like you.
Still have grown men run around tight pants.
It's Mookie Betts.
This is Daniel Bard.
It's Steve Aoki.
Jared Saltalamacchia.
This is Brock Holt.
Hey, this is John Lester.
Baseball
isn't boring.
Welcome to Baseball Isn't Boring. Here's your host, Rob Radford.
Sometimes we need reminders, right? We need reminders about how good somebody is. We got that reminder from Louis Arraez in his debut with the Padres, four hits. It's a pretty good reminder. But just in case you weren't convinced how good this guy is, just because you're looking at his stat line for this year and it's not closer to 400, it's only at 299 and whatever. Just in case you had any doubt about how good this guy the Padres just got is, well, we're going to offer a reminder. We're going to go back in the archives of Baseball Isn't Boring and give you Rich Hill, who identifies Arraez as the best hitter that he has ever seen. The best! And then our conversation with Charlie Blackmon last year when Arraez was chasing 400, talking about what a unicorn this guy is. So, for all those people saying, oh my goodness, you traded for a DH, he's only hitting just under 300. Well, just understand, this guy's really, really good. He started with a four-hit reminder, and now we go with the Baseballs and Boring reminder. Here you go, Rich Hill, then Charlie Blackmon.
Right now, if you said, okay, this is the guy that you're confident about getting anybody out, because that's what major league pitchers do. But right now in the game that's being played, who is the guy you're saying, oh man, I really wish this guy wasn't up right now? Who is the toughest guy, like, for you? Because not necessarily maybe even the best hitter, right? But the guy for you, like, is like, I know that this guy is mine, is going to work with me. Who is it?
Yeah. Louis Arraez. Louis Arraez. Yeah. Unbelievable. Probably. Now, I know this is, but the best hitter I've ever seen. I was fortunate enough to play with him in 2020, and I just immediately noticed this guy's competitiveness, his, you know, give a crap, his, you know, level to be able to crank it up when the game started, played through some, you know, injuries, was able to. Now, I'm just saying, this is, in my opinion, what makes a complete major league player and why this guy is going to be very successful is because he cares. But also with that, his aptitude of learning is incredible, but his gift is basketball skill. I haven't seen him get beat by a fastball, you know, 100 and whatever, who cares? He can get the bat through the zone. The bat stays in the zone a long time. And he has extremely quick hands and reflexes. So, when I think about guys that have the ability to, you know, change a game and or, keep the inning going, it's not that he's going to, you know, he's not a big home run guy, but okay, he can put the ball in play. You know, he's going to go that left center, side of the field. He absolutely wears out and he has the speed to be able to get a double, you know, on a short ball hit into left center field. And he runs the bases. Well, anyway, so I just think I can't speak enough about him. I think he's probably, one of the most underrated players, in the game.
Well, you faced a lot of guys, and when you say this is the best hitter that I've ever seen, I mean, you articulated it because this is what makes the best. It's not just a guy who's going to hit the ball out. It's not just a guy who's going to make contact. It also is a guy who's going to, like, have the right attitude, the right approach, paying attention, all of that. And I guess you were fortunate because you got to play with him, so you got him see that way. You see him from the other end. You get the scouting reports and everything. So I'll take your word for it. That's a good one, though. That's a good one. I was not expecting that.
He just shocked that he got traded to Miami, but, you know, Miami's win. And I'm sure, you know, Minnesota got a great pitcher in return. But anyway, those guys are, you know, I never got a chance to get to watch Tony Gwynn, but never got to obviously play with him. But that type of ability is what Louis has. And, know, it's just something that when you see it, it's kind of like the crack of the ball off the bat when you hear a little bit of a different sound. When you see this guy work and you see his ability, and his, you know, it's the showing up and wanting to get better every single day too. That is what now I'm not saying guys don't have that. I'm just saying that he is that talented and he still has that drive. Mm. So when you have that and you have the talent and you have the drive, now you have, a long-term player, in my opinion. You have a guy that's going to be around for another, you know, 10 years. And we could be talking about him, you know, I don't know, possibly pushing the 3,000 hit mark. I don't know where he is, you know, whatever. But yeah. My point is that his drive for the game is extreme.
You said about you wish you could have people see what you see in a batter's box. And it made me think of Arise, what Arise is doing right now. You've had pretty good batting averages. You've done very well. What he's doing now, I don't know, like, from your perspective, where this rates in terms of accomplishment, or how you view this as someone who does sit in there in the batter's box and does know what it takes to have a batting average of 400.
Yeah, I think realistically, there's like 15 guys hitting about 300, right?
Yeah.
So he's a third better than the top 10 players in the world in the batting average category. So that's, I mean, for you to be like, oh, I wonder if he's going to hit 400, like, that's not really what you should be asking. It's like, man, if he hits 350, that's going to be incredible. You know, like, I hope, I'd like to see it come down to the wire, but that's it's not really something where you can sit back before it happens and say, oh yeah, that's achievable. Like, you can't, like, this level of play is so good that we're talking, like, you know, just a hair here or there is what makes or breaks the difference. Like, it's crazy to try and say, oh, like, this guy's going to be 30% better than the next best guy, you know, like, when a half a percent is a big move, you know. So it's pretty incredible what he's doing.
It's, and I don't know, obviously there's the back and forth, well, pitchers get information, hitters get information, but I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about it that this is the best pitching. Like, if we want to talk about velocity, I talked to Daniel about this. I mean, when Daniel was here in 2009, at the end of that year in 2009, there was less than half of how many guys have thrown 100 already this year. And so, like, what I'm saying is that, like, to do something like what we're talking about, or to do stuff that you're taught you that you've done, seems like a bigger feat than ever.
The game is being played better than it ever has before. No doubt in my mind. Now, there's other great players from different eras who are way better than their peers. But the game that they were playing isn't as good as the game that you're seeing today. It wasn't.
Yeah.
You know, no disrespect to those, to everyone before me, but you can really only compare a player to their peers, right?
And
the next generation is going to be better than us, right? Like, and it's going to continue to get better and better and better as kids specialize sooner, as physical training gets better, as we improve the technology in the game and learn more about psychology and development. Like, it's going to get better and better and better. Like, it, you know, like, it just happens to be that I'm playing the best game in history. But tomorrow it'll be better than it is today. Yeah.
That's why when I have Hall of Fame vote, and when I do it, I look at it, and this is where I start, top 10 MVP votes. Because every era is different, right? And I'm not saying, like, I know it's a subjective thing, MVP votes, but it shows a dominance in the era, I guess.
Compared to your peers.
Yes. Yeah,
in the climate, you know, in the baseball climate,
yes,
of the time.
And then obviously, like, in the late 90s, it was a whole thing. Like, that was, the numbers are skewed. But Jim Rice here, you know, was, yeah, he even played in a different time. But that's how I start.
I think that's the best way to do it, right? Like, that's 100 times better than saying, oh, this is his war. Like, that's what a...
Yeah.
Don't get me started on war. That's an awful stat.
But you know what? Having MVP votes, I know how a lot of guys vote. They go immediately to war these days.
But that's such a bad...
I know, I'm not saying it's good, I'm just telling you.
We've got 800 players in this league. and they all do something different and have a different skill set. So for you to hang one number around their neck and say that's what this player is, I mean, I think that's extremely short-sighted. And I think if that's the case, everybody should know exactly what's in WAR, how it's calculated, what the subjectivities are, what the park factors are, how much they're weighting the defense. And I think they've missed a lot of those inputs and variables, I think, are improperly weighted.
No, I agree. I'm just saying, like, you know, what's your favorite stat?
I like OPS.
Do you? Okay.
I like OPS for offense. I like OPS.
Okay. All right.
You know, ultimately, it's all about home runs and RBIs. You know that, right? Like, that's what makes the world turn. But, you know, yeah, those are sometimes a product of the situation you're in and the people around you and you know, the division that you play. You know, like, there's a lot of factors that go into that. But that's the meat and potatoes of baseball. But I do, like, if I'm looking for rate stats, which I really like, a little more predictive, I like the OPS.